When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I am recording now, and I'm ready to hear all the bits you're saving for Tyler.
All those good bits for Tyler.
Give me the good ones.
Let them rip.
First we have to do our alignment, Johnny.
Oh, sure.
Before you get any bits, we have to do our alignment.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But I want the bits now.
Naughty children do not get bits. We zip over to another part of the city, kind of in the bowl that we have established for this particular district of Dumignon. We're sort of on the outer edge where part of the floating city bumps up against a rocky cliff, and we can see the entrance to a cave there. And we see somebody sitting outside a cave with a gas lamp right next to them. They're an older sort of person. And when I say an older sort of person, age radiates off of them. They're not like Spit, who is just like an old man. They are someone who maybe they look younger than Spit, but they just feel old as a person. It doesn't matter whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, or your 50s. You look at that person and you go, oh, that person's old. Whether I am older than them or not, this person is actually old. And I think they've got like, we'll say a harmonica that they are, you know, piping away on just to pass the time. When the group of Wendell, Nodos, and Gable kind of approaches this person.
Good evening.
The person like holds up a hand and then, you know, motions people forward.
Good evening to you. What brings you here this time of night?
Well, first I thought it was the case, but that gas lamp, I love it. Where do you get those? I see them everywhere.
Ah, I see you're not from the city.
No.
Visiting.
That's by definition, yes.
The gas lamps are traditional here.
Lovely. I just wanted to pass commentary. Anyway, Wendell's the one who's doing all the, you know, organizing, so.
No, I love it when you talk, too.
No, well.
That's fun for me.
Uh-huh.
It feels like we're on the adventure together.
I know what you're thinking. Am I French or Dracula? The answer is yes.
I certainly was thinking of it, and all of my questions have been even more confused, but thank you for that. Sidebar, Wendell, why are you still here?
What do you mean?
You're gonna go get married. What are you still doing here?
Well, yeah, on the mainland.
Oh, we're still not there yet. Okay.
No, not there yet. But Wendell, were you intending to stay on with the crew? I know you've been married once before.
I hadn't given it too much thought.
What?
All right. Listen, I understand. Being a young buck, being a bachelor is an attractive lifestyle, and I I know it's frightening to step into the next thing, and you haven't needed to for so long because you've been trying to get the money to build your life back at home. But now that the prospect of home is before you, it must be frightening. I get that. I understand that. And maybe in this course of this journey, we can help you find that sort of metaphorical adulthood to help you move on to the next thing. But we just need to do that table setting right now.
Well, I thought that we were here to avoid our problems.
All right.
I don't think that's a real thing. I don't.
Goes with you wherever you go. The avoidance is because it's in here, and the brain is at the top of the body, and it keeps on moving with you.
With that, the person leans forward. Excuse me.
All right, Dracula. How much to get in the cave?
You are not from around here. We will require a passage in order to use the... Oh, my gosh. Saanglesgeir.
Sounds like you had trouble with that.
Yeah, I need to... Hold on.
Google Translate.
I need to pull up the pronunciation guide.
This is your native tongue, correct? You should have just really rolled off.
The Saanglesgeir.
Pardon?
You have not used the Saanglesgeir before.
No. What?
The tunnel cords.
Oh, tunnel cords. Yes, certainly. What is it, a safety measure?
I take from your silence that you have not. This is fine. In order to travel the caves, you will need light. There is no light in the dark, and lanterns will fail.
Noticeably so, there is no light in the dark. You got me there.
I'm sorry. I am trying to slow down for someone who does not understand simple concepts.
See,
and also,
like, we're both
not
being,
speaking my native tongue.
We're both being rude. I understand. You're being rude.
I know, but culturally, I am supposed to be rude to you.
I feel like that's... You didn't need to bring...
This is my birthright.
You didn't need to bring that into this conversation. And I am saying that, yes, I agree with you. I didn't disagree with the things you're saying. I'm continue.
In order to do this, he reaches to his side and pulls out a knife. The silver of this blade glints wickedly in the scant moonlight.
Oh, I'm so sorry for being rude. I'm so sorry. Oh, you don't need to, please, we don't need to get in a fight. We don't need to do any stabbing. That's fine.
There is no amount of apologies that will prevent me from taking your blood from you. Because this is how the Saanglesgeir works.
Pardon?
The cord needs your blood to light the way.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of the cool things about this place. They've got all these caves, right? And they've got these ropes in the caves. And in order to get them to light up and take you on the pathway that you need to walk, you gotta feed them blood.
Wendell, this is something that we're going to talk about in your upcoming relationship. There's something called trickle honesty. So you are saying things, but you're not saying them in the completion that we need to know them. So you are saying, oh, I wasn't dishonest. I just didn't tell you right away. That's the same thing. It's the same thing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gable. On our cool, fun adventure together, you might need to bleed a little bit.
It is very cool. I'll tell you that to you, Dracula Frenchman. This is a very cool situation.
Yes, it is almost as if a group of people who have cool ideas came up with it together instead of it just being a thing that naturally we figured out in this environment. Very glad that I landed on a little bit French and a little bit Dracula. And that's kind of thematically, I think we can all agree, the deal.
Yeah, we can justify anything, truly.
I love that we invented the most morbid glow sticks known to man.
Yes.
It is pretty yucky, I do have to say. But, okay, all right, what is is the feed just blood? Do I have to give you any money?
I will, you will tell me where you want to go, and I will pick out the red cord for you. If you would not like to pay me a tip, then I will leave you to find it on your own.
Okay. What's the not from here. What is the standard tip for this procedure?
We're heading to Plume Crew.
Ah, I see.
I don't like the way you say that.
Crew.
I hate the way you say that.
Tell me, are you gentlemen willing to risk your lives on this night?
Sure. Sure, man. Whatever.
That does appear to be the theme of the night. And I've apparently got nothing better going on. So, yeah, let's risk our lives.
Cool
Wendell.
Stuff. Party time.
I suspect you all have heard this story, yes? The Watcher in the Dark? The Watcher in the Dark?
We've heard from a single person who is standing next to me with a lot of confidence that there is a treasure that has been unclaimed. And that is as far as
and
I know.
I heard it from a guy in a bar.
Oh, awesome. Great.
Yes, well, Liplume Crew is a staple of this area. There are many treasure hunters who come to Duchmignon. Many who wish to claim a fortune to provide themselves a life of comfort and luxury. One that can be provided by many of the amenities here in my fine city. It is a dream that draws people from all over. And Liplume Crew is one of the finest. But you are correct. No one has ever claimed this treasure before. It sits at the bottom of a deep well. One thing that you might not be familiar with. The water here is not the same as the water across the rest of Sphere. In the rivers and the lakes, like we all know, lies Rusalka, who tempts those to come close to her banks and drowns them under the wave. And of course, out in the sea, amongst the arms of Oceania, you have the Leviathan and the cold touch of the Mariner. Here in Duchmignon, Nizel claim our water. The salt mixes with the fresh water, creating the brackish tides of Duchmignon. And here you can swim. Here you can move in the water safely. However, water, even without the curse of either Rusalka or the Mariner, is still very dangerous. And so, those who are hopeful head out to Plume Crew and find themselves seeing a fortune in the dark, a fortune that watches them back and tempts them down. And those who value fortune more than their lives perish under the water. And those who value their lives more than fortune turn back the other way. I have never seen anyone claim this treasure, but I have seen everyone walk away, who does walk away, from the experience realizing the richness of their own life.
Watcher in the Dark, huh?
Yeah, the Watcher in the Dark. The Plume Crooks.
Are you sure it's just a watcher in the dark, or do you think it's someone who forgot that you need light inside of the dark?
I see we have a person of ideas. Well, if you do have a light that can survive underneath the water...
I was being mean to you. I was trying to be very mean to you. I wasn't having any idea. I don't like you. We're not friends.
It is, how do you say in your language... very difficult to be mean to someone from a place of ignorance.
Ooh! Ooh!
No.
Never mind. I'm on board. That was fun. I like that.
You see, this is culturally the sort of meanness that we have here.
Yeah, tete-a-tete.
A little fun.
We're having fun. Now
oh,
I'm
you are going
fun.
To fit in. Just what? I hope you don't drown. I really
you.
Mean it when I say I hope you don't drown.
I hope that you don't drown for whatever it is you're yes. doing.
It would be cool if no one drowned.
I mean, it'd be
it would
awesome.
Be great if no one drowned.
Cool.
If you'd like to go see Plumkruch, then all you have to do is give me 4 ounces of blood. And 1 silver bit.
I'm gonna huddle with my fellas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna huddle a bit.
We're just gonna do a quick huddle, real huddle. Quick.
So I know I can do the silver.
Okay.
The rest of it can't. There's nothing. I don't blood.
Yeah, I gonna be honest. You know, I've got my. My right arm, which I use that for all my writing and my correspondence work, my fine work. And I've got the old lefty here, which I can you fellas keep a secret?
Sure.
Maybe depends if you talk to the people that I talk to.
Since my accident, I haven't done a lot of bleeding from my left arm.
Oh, interesting.
You know, I don't do a lot of feeling in the left arm either. Mm. But definitely not a lot of bleeding from it.
That's normal, I bet. Right?
So I'm just the blood boy. Then is what I'm
no,
hearing.
No,
is kind of what I'm hearing
not
is
necessarily.
I'm here for the blood because
no.
you need a blood guy.
If we
no,
you're a blood
no
man.
No knows
a big strong man full of good juicy blood. That and then when
I'm always saying you've got so much blood, so much good blood.
Everyone I talk to just like, oh, you press on. I'm like, oh, I wish I was a mosquito just trying to get in there. Yum yum.
Wendell, I don't know if you know, but assuring me that you're always saying that I'm full of such good blood doesn't do a lot to alleviate my concern that you brought me here as the blood guy.
Blood man. And as a, I'm doing the money, and then Wendell will go first. So if there's a drowning involved, then he'll take that burden on, right?
Yeah, sure. Totally. I'm down for that.
Fantastic. That's great. I want to remind everyone, we're doing this for fun. This is a fun thing that we decided to do as friends.
Yeah, look, the rowdy R's are gone, okay? And I would never say that we were disloyal in the way that the rowdy R's were, but we've always been a bit rowdy. You know, when they needed someone to cause a distraction on the civility, who was there? It was us.
Yes, it was us.
And when they needed someone to commandeer Il Sanguidio, when there was a mariner attack, who was there?
It was us. I also, these are all things that I decided. It wasn't like other people. It was mostly just like me saying, I want to go places with my friends.
When the vote came to Nordia, though, and people asked us what we wanted to do, each of us three said we would stand and fight against the most terrible force that has ever been known in Sphere.
Uh-huh.
Fearless. The three of us have always been fearless. And here we have it. We have the final real test. What did we do? What did we do when I found out that I was going to get married? We decided to go out and hunt Leviathan together. That didn't scare us at all. That was a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun, yes. Yes, it was. We get our thrills from taking risks.
And
so he,
that, listen, Nodos, your blood hasn't come out yet. It's all been inside. You've been very stingy with it. Maybe now's the time. Give a little bit, you know?
I suppose, yes, yes. we will maybe on this particular adventure find some clarity. And if the price for that is a couple ounces of blood...
4 ounces is quite a bit. You've got to get pretty dizzy.
Well, I guess there does look like this 24-hour bakery stand over there. We'll get some cookies.
We'll do a negotiation. All right, Dracula, quick question. So, we've got the silver, right? 4 ounces of blood seems like a lot, but can we do a little bit just for the safety and to make sure that, like, you as a host get, like, all these great 5-star reviews? Do you have any sugar cookies? Do you have an orange juice that you can give my little blood friend here?
Ooh, I see what your group might be looking for.
Well, this is a different guy.
That sounded too close to fucking Calvar.
Hell yeah. Hey, yeah.
There it is.
Jerk off Jerry.
This isn't your friend. This is another guy. I couldn't help but overhearing that y'all looking to go on a bit of an adventure, but you don't have enough blood betwixt your group to maybe go down that tunnel without anyone passing out.
Are you offering blood? Are you just hanging around the front of the cave?
That's right. Oh, I'm a bleeder. I'm a professional bleeder. I bleed all day.
Now, hang on one second. All right. Now, this man's blood is not as good as my blood. All right. I can bleed all day, every day,
do not listen to him.
Do not listen to him.
Cumberbatch, I'll bleed so guys, as much as you want.
Looking to buy some blood? Look, don't let these two jokers.
No. Do not listen to him.
I'm not listening to anything.
No. I got.
I'll open the vein right now.
You know what? Don't even worry about it because I've already pricked my finger. All right, go ahead. Watch this blood trickle down my index finger, okay? This is premium blood, all right? Now, it will continue to run down to my elbow and then drip down because I bleed so often, so frequently, so well.
I think something you may be misunderstood. This is not my blood, but I do have blood.
Okay, that's some blood. This person is with a mob and just murdered somebody.
Look. I'll give you a tiny little bag of blood for free, just so you can see if you like it.
Do not listen to this person, all right? Their bags are porous, all right? It is more mess than it is worth.
I don't need a small amount.
It's a canvas sack. It's dripping.
Now, that's situation. Because you don't want any of the grit, you know? You just want that pure blood. The canvas sack collects the grit. Everything that drips out is that fresh, clean blood.
Very much now, a limited time offer.
Take it or leave it, okay?
I will leave you. I don't need that, whatever that is. For the other two of you, Is this just a small economy, a little industry?
We get all kinds of tourists and treasure hunters looking to make a quick buck, and they gotta divide up the price using the bleeder to get the right rope, and then they need blood so that they don't pass out when they're on their little adventures, and that's why we sit around. Mm-hmm. We're just waiting for someone to bleed us dry. Well, not dry, but bleed us a bit.
Okay, I'm going to come clean.
I don't need you. It was rat blood.
Okay.
That does not work.
It's not going to work.
You put rat blood on that rope, it's just going to be a dirty rope.
Love human blood. Mm-hmm.
All right, sir.
That's why I'm being honest with you. That was rat blood. But if you want some real blood, I got some real blood. Okay. This is from humans. I swear, hey. Hand to God. It's human blood, okay?
Stop. There are just all these sacks everywhere that are leaking. Absolutely. That you just built.
I will tell you this much right now, all right? This man has been here with those sacks for weeks, all right? He has picked them up, put them down. He does not know which sack is the human blood sack, all right? Am I lying? Emma, point to the human blood sack right now.
No,
right,
because if I show you which one, you're going to take it, you're going to throw it on that rope, you're going to get down in
why
that
would
hole.
Why would I need a sack of blood? I can bleed my own sack of blood right now if I wanted to.
Please don't. Everyone keep their blood inside of them, please.
I will make you one final offer. Bleed my blood. Use my blood.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Because I am the best bleeder in the entire city. I am not an adventurer. I am very scared of the tunnels. I will never go down there. Yeah, all right.
But
I will. I love encouraging other adventurers to adventure into the tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
And I might not be the best bleeder, but I'm willing to learn.
I don't think you need that's a. I don't think that's an applied skill.
Okay, what look.
You get out of here.
No, I'm gonna look. You can take their blood. That's fine. All I need is somebody to bring all these bags of my blood down into that hole and leave them there, okay? As long as these bags of blood don't make it back up, we're good, okay? We're square, we're even.
We're square. We don't owe you anything.
Will you pay me to take those sacks down? And then
yeah,
I can
give
pay
you all. You got all the bags of blood you could want.
No, that's not what I mean. I don't need the blood. You need to offer something to me.
I am offering you as many bags of blood as you can carry down into a hole. I don't understand what you're not understanding about this.
I don't need it.
So leave them down in the bottom of the hole.
No.
Everybody wins.
Okay,
no.
I just want to let people know that the finger prick has dripped down to my elbow and now it's dripping on the floor. So this so also good. Is a limited time offer.
You don't want that to go to waste.
What is the price of the blood, right?
Oh,
not
geez,
you.
I've never thought about price.
You've never gotten this far.
Wow. Okay. Okay, what am I worth? What are you worth, Lenny? What are you worth? Okay. All right, I'm going to say 2 copper bits.
Oh, bud, I'm not
going to
allow
low?
You.
Is that too high?
Too
low. One copper bit. You can get all my blood. Leave
keep
me dry
on
for one
on.
Copper bit.
Lenny, I'm so sorry. I can't allow myself to keep speaking to you.
I want to be able to price my blood at a copper bit, but I know I can't.
Oh,
I know it's not worth that.
I need to stop speaking.
My blood ain't that good. I don't know much about bleeding. I've been over my head.
I think we're not going to use any of these services, but I do want you to circle up. Let's do a little separate.
I would actually love to.
I don't need to bleed four ounces
out.
I just need to talk to these. If you're going to continue this industry, just, you know, set your rate, value yourself, right? Like if you were going to be the Ubers of blood or the Lyfts of
blood hub
sharing.
Blood
maybe,
hub.
It's going to be a blood hub. Maybe make a collective set a price in the industry so no one's like underscoring or like trying to price gouge. That right. might
like
make your
a cartel?
No, like a union, which is a legal cartel.
Okay.
Wow. So I'm not sure we're going to take advantage of this, but you just think about it.
I would love to take advantage of this because it get 4 ounces sounds like a lot. We could die. We could drown.
You know what? Okay. 2 ounces of my blood, 1 copper bit. 1 copper bit, 2 ounces.
I mean, if that's what you feel that you are worth inside of your heart.
Here's the thing. I've been doing this for months. I just need one sale. All right. And then I will reassess how I feel after that. All right.
Fantastic. I'll leave.
He's got to emotionally unpack because he's been doing a lot of this work pro bono.
All right. You said 2 ounces. Great. That's 2 ounces. And then no dose. You just need a little 2 ounces just for you. That's easy. You do that every day, right?
Every day?
Every day. Everyone bleeds a little bit every day, right? I haven't done it in a while. I don't remember.
What?
What? Anyway, let's all prick our fingers and start bleeding, baby.
So, Lenny the Leech he just takes a knife, stabs himself in the arm, and just hovers that over a precarious mason jar, and then just so where are you from?
we're from the Uhuru. We recently docked.
Oh, I saw that ship come in. It's very, very, very special looking. Very special looking. You know a special ship when you see it.
Yeah. What do you mean?
I'm originally from the mainland, but I've been flying, you know, for the past.
Oh wow,
God, it's been more than a decade now in the sky.
Yeah, that's crazy. I see you guys come in and out of port all the time. I could not do it. All right, I'm so scared. I am not scared. I'm not afraid of blood, but I am afraid of venturing out of my comfort zone. I will not.
Uh-huh.
I will not go into the tunnels, and I will not go back into the air. And you know what? Here we go. 2 ounces of blood right there.
Oh, thank you.
Wow, that's for just you. Like that.
Uh huh.
Wow. Yeah,
great. I think I opened up a little too much of the skin.
How about you go to the doctor? To the doctor.
All right.
And
so thank you so much for your service. It's been a pleasure.
Here's that copper bit.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Reassessing. Hey, welcome to the doctor. How may I help you today?
No.
They approached Dracula. We need a D-plot.
Hey heroes, it's James, your game master, and for real, this time I'm serious about it, this is the generic mid-roll. Those other generic mid-rolls, they weren't generic, but now they are. Just so everybody knows, I'm doing generic mid-rolls because I recently had a baby, and taking care of a newborn does not leave me with time to do most of my regular podcast duties. Obviously, Skyjax is going to continue posting, I'm just not going to be making bespoke mid-roll announcements for it. With that said, first, I want to thank Lex, the Lexicon artist, for joining us as a guest for this arc. And I want to let everyone listening know that Lex is currently touring. So if you have enjoyed their performances here on the show, and you're also in a position where you think you can go out and see shows safely, I highly recommend showing up to Lex's tour. They're going from the East Coast through the Midwest, up and down the country throughout March and April. And you can get tickets for a performance in your area by heading to thelexiconartist.com or following the link in our show notes. I know not everybody's COVID safety protocols allows them to go out and see concerts, but if yours do, there's nothing better than supporting an artist like Lex in a very difficult time. And if you can't make it to one of the tour dates, check out Lex's website anyway and listen to their music. It's really great. In addition to our regular game, for this arc, we're playing StarCrossed, the two-player Forbidden Romance RPG. StarCrossed was designed by my dear friend and former network member, Alex Roberts, and is published by Bully Pulpit Games. You can pick up your own copy of StarCrossed by following the link in our show notes. A big thank you to all the cast and crew who are involved in producing the music for this arc. That is not just our guest for the arc, Lex the Lexicon artist, but it's also Arnie Parrott, our house musician, Tyler Davis, who you're going to be hearing later on, James Mendez-Hodes, who wrote some lyrics for one of the songs that'll be appearing much later on in the arc, and of course Casey Tony, our editor, for choosing when and where it appears in the show. And also a huge thank you to Tracy Barnett, who assisted Casey Tony on the editing for this arc. As always, one of the biggest thank yous goes to our Patreon patrons who made everything you're listening to possible by supporting the show. Let's thank them right now. Lee Taylor, thank you. Everett Werner, thank you so much. Discmond, thank you. Claudia Z, thank you so much. Florian Kelber, thank you. Hibidary, thank you so much. L. Thank you. Miranda Hughes, thank you so much. Elias Olson, thank you. Katrina Place, thank you very much. Jamie Van Kessel, thank you. Kylie Owens, thank you so much. Clara Frank, thank you. Rose D'Amato, thank you very much, Grandma. Nate Ott, thank you. Hyperbolic Nerd, thank you so much. And Anna Part, thank you. Thanks again to everyone who supports us on Patreon. We wouldn't be able to make this show without you. Thanks to everyone who supports us already, and everyone who's going to support us in the future. Also, quick update on that short story that I was talking about last week. Finished revising it, haven't recorded it yet because of the baby, but I really do hope to have it for you next week. It'll be worth the wait, I promise.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Now, with all of that out of the way, let's get back in the sky. While that D-plot is happening, Notos grabs the little mason jar, adds his own blood to the mixture, hands it over to French Dracula. French Dracula
just chugs it.
We can see towards the top of the cave, there are these intricately woven knots that are leading down the ceiling of the cave, kind of off into the darkness in different directions. After handing the silver bit and the blood to French Dracula, French Dracula feels along the ceiling, just moving his fingers over the various lines and cords, and grabs a knot and dips the knot inside the mason jar and like puts the jar up on a little hook on the ceiling. And we can see slowly bioluminescent light start to spread across this cord. I think it is like a UV purple with like hints of gold that lead off to Plume Crew. It, you know, twists down the tunnel into the darkness.
Well, then, I suppose we have our path.
And at that, the little finch that you hired earlier, Gable, lands on your shoulder.
Oh. Pardon me. Correspondence will be gone soon. Gable takes the bird, gives a little pat, and then unfolds now the unwieldy amount of parchment. Oh dear. Gets another piece of parchment. Do not put foreign objects in your eye. Do not do this. Who is the person you are talking about? Here's step-by-step instructions as to create your own eye-washing station. Please do this immediately. 1, 2, 3, these are the steps. Also, I realized I didn't sign this. This is Gable. But I'm about to go underground, and in case this is not legal, I have not checked. I will sign it as someone else who is not Gable. Gable is a different person from me.
What? What is this?
Sincerely, no doubt.
And that is how you do email security.
Yes.
That's good infosec from Gable. We can see Wendell, Gable, and Nodo's head down the tunnel as the finch flies away.
Oh, French Dracula, will the bird be able to come make it all the way down the cave, or does it need to stop with you first?
This bird will be able to find its way better than anyone. It will not need the help of the cord.
That's convenient. Thank you.
Hey, but just, I'm also out of curiosity, how many bags of blood do you think one of these birds could carry?
What do you...
I'm just asking questions.
As the finch zips up across.
Real quick, Johnny, currently you look like the character that is selling, trying to offload bags of blood.
Waiting in the corner.
I know.
Quick question.
I'm always surprised by the number of people who do not look up cast pictures to see what we all look like. So I cannot wait. If you are an artist and you can draw, now that you know that Johnny looks exactly like that character, please draw what you think that is and post it to Twitter. We cannot wait to see it.
I'm also looking forward to hopefully some Way fan art.
Oh yes,
yeah. Might be a pie in the sky gift.
I kind of think with the way that you have described Way, people are going to not be able to resist drawing Way.
I'm excited.
Mm-hmm.
Gable, I think like we pull away, the finch starts to zip away from the city as you stand in front of the cave, and as you do, I think you are hit with another sudden memory. You are on something that looks like the firmament. It is not the firmament. Mm. This is not sphere. This, for lack of a better term, I think we're in a place that is like art for an angel. Angels have very little idea of identity or impression, but that's just they don't possess the idea. Mm-hmm. It's that they've never considered it. Like nobody, it's very hard to invent trigonometry. Like there's a lot of steps that you have to go to get there. So when angels are tasked with doing something that is creative, they kind of have to invent being creative for the first time. Mm-hmm. And where we are is an angel's interpretation of the firmament. The sovereign does not have time to forge the instrument of his own justice. That is something he has entrusted to his left hand. It is fitting, as you are one of the fingers on the left hand. The sovereign has left it to the morning star to teach a storm to become justice. And therefore, any necessary instruction to transform something from a force into a warrior has to be worked through in a safe environment. And therefore, angels were commanded to make an impression of the firmament so that you might learn how to be. And it's close. It looks, in a way, a little bit like the firmament, but it's like an impressionistic painting. It's got levels of abstraction, areas where the deep and complexity of creation and life has been sort of rubbed over to give impressions. Mm-hmm. So I think we are on a beach that sparkles like it's made of pearls. Each individual grain of sand has this swirling luminescence to it. I think the water looks like wine. There is that old saying that like we used to not have a concept of the color blue, and we used to consider the ocean to be the same color of wine, or at least that's how it was written in Rome, which I find charming to make that literal. It is this deep, like reddish sort of color that laps up against this. And the sky above, I think, is woven almost like fabric. There are pinpricks of the sovereign's light that come through. So it is this beautiful blue sky, this mid-morning blue sky full of stars. And we are on the beach together, and the morning star has many of their wings folded up. They are not in courtly dress. They are not dressed in their armor. Their outfit is extremely casual. If you know those statues of sexy Lucifer that were created by commission of the Catholic Church, but it's just real sexy devil who's got like the slightest bit of like cloth just hanging, like, from them.
Hand on the head, just kind of.
Yeah, I do think the Morning Star is seated right now, and there is like this fabric that drapes across their biblical feet, held in place by the wings at their hips. Mm-hmm. As I think I look, not frustrated, but and not bored, but like displeased in a way. I think the only thing that I would request is that you be holding your sword, but I do want to know what Bellwether looks like right now.
I believe at this moment they're trying their best to be a good student, and what that has been looking like is kind of just training exercises. But they don't exactly know what the end goal is, so they're just doing things like to show off power, like exploding sand dunes and controlling the tides as much as they can. And in their most comfortable, this is at them at their most comfortable, mm-hmm. like natural destruction, the cycles of the world operating as they should, they are more ethereal, mm-hmm. mostly in their fiery, flame-filled form, and maybe more empowered in trying out the new powers of being the left hand. But the arms are tangible so as to hold the sword, which is uncomfortable for them.
So, yeah, in this swirling, ethereal, destructive force, we see these arms.
And just as they explode a sand dune and crush a little heavenly crab, they drop the facade, go back into fully physical form and say, I hate this. I hate the bones. I hate having two arms. I would like many into infinite. This is the worst day of my life. This is the worst day of my life. You are the worst person in my life. Okay. I hate this.
Then we have something in common, because I hate the way you do it.
Then tell me what to...
You look ridiculous.
I know that. These are the ones that you gave me.
You First of all, that is not on me. That is not on me. You are the one who can only remember to manifest part of yourself at once. People need to know that it is the sovereign delivering this justice, and how can they know that if you don't appear before them?
The sovereign loves efficiency, so I am manifesting the parts that are important, the punching one and the striking one. The rest of it...
Bellwether.
Mm-hmm.
The Morning Star gets up and crosses the sand, which I think... It's very slight, and you can barely hear it, but I do think the sand has a twinkling sound, almost like glass or a music box. That is what angels creating a beach thought sand should be like as you cross it. The Morning Star stares at you, and are you sincerely telling the left hand of the sovereign what the sovereign requires?
No. This has been a conversation.
I didn't think so. Let's put the sword down.
I'm going to unintentionally touch.
Yes.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. This feels good. No. This doesn't feel good.
There's so many of them that don't feel good.
None of this feels good.
Oh, I hate it.
Dangerously cheesy.
Oh, I hate it. Oh,
dangerously cheesy.
Chester Cheetah's all over that one.
The way that the tower wiggled when you did that terrified me to my core.
What a bad choice by me.
Mm-hmm. We hate our choices.
Bellwether makes a motion to give the sword back.
Mm-hmm.
And... accidentally grazes the hand of the Morning Star.
Oh, I think the Morning Star is going to intentionally touch you.
This is going to be a very short game.
Hey, we got to make those moves.
I'm going to pass away. I'm going to die.
Yeah, I'm going to expire. You unintentionally graze the Morning Star, and the Morning Star traces their hand along and up your arm and places it on your shoulder so that both of your arms are in deep contact with one another and steps towards you. Be with me.
I am with you.
Be with me. You have been with me this entire time. You have been wind. You have been the tides. You have been fury. You have been the destruction of what we're calling rocks and dunes. But all you have been is arms holding a sword. And that is not what the sovereign's justice is. That's not what you are.
If I may speak freely.
I am shocked to discover that what you have been doing up to this point has not been speaking freely.
I do not understand. And I know that lack of understanding is part of the mystery, is part of the Sovereign's design. I cannot take the full form and take the full might of the arm when I don't understand what makes a mortal life worthy of judgment. I have misbehaved in my choir. I have acted out of turn. But I only know that is incorrect because that is how I'm made. It is part of my mind to know. How did we decide?
I think the Morning Star sighs and steps away from you for a second and turns back. We did not decide. It was never for us to decide. He decides. That is the way of all things. He decides. And he decrees. And through his decree, we know. When you will be sent down to the firmament, you will have instructions. You will perform the will of the Sovereign. You will be the justice. It's not that we're made not to understand it. And I will be intentionally revealing something about myself here. It's not that mystery is a part of what the Sovereign wants. It's that we can't understand and know the things the Sovereign knows. Because we're fundamentally not the Sovereign. The Sovereign did not create the grand mysteries on purpose. The grand mysteries exist because the Sovereign doesn't understand us.
There's one at the bottom.
Oh, God.
There's a little pokey boy at the bottom that you can scooch out if you wanted to. Jesus Christ. Jesus.
That was simple.
But every time the tower shifts, it creates new little brickies for us to pull. Liz, if we go to the bottom, we will create that instability at the foundation of... hey,
okay.
And you're allowed to do whatever you want. You're allowed to do whatever you want. Oh, God. Oh, God. I'm putting the pencil... I was picking up the pencil that caused that problem.
Yeah. Bellwether steps back. Slightly more understanding, but even more frustrated. If they are his most loved, why should they not judge themselves?
They do. Half of the souls cast to the river are done by very quick and very passionate moments of judgment. I can't believe this is the real disadvantage of going to you. The real disadvantage of prizing power over knowledge and information. The previous Angel of Judgment knew this because they spent all their time watching these people. Or she spent all of her time watching these people.
Well, I'm sorry to be a disappointing replacement.
You are my favorite disappointment.
That mother's so mad. Just so mad. I grew up full of in a house full of siblings that were just like me, that loved me very much. Well, no, they didn't love me. We don't know what love is. We enjoyed each other's company because we were all the same person. And now there's someone, the first person who I've ever had an outside interaction with as a person who is me, is very mean to me. In a moment of spite, Bellwether attempts to fully manifest.
What does it look like?
It is the faceless form that we saw them in a while back. Full wings, black and gold, with a helm with no eyes, and just strong arms, the same plate hard armor of the court to show their fealty.
Sovereign's word, look at you.
Am I pleasing to look at?
I don't know what it looks like when an angel blushes, but the current form and dress that the Morning Star has taken means that you are absolutely sure to see it. They begin to speak They try to say something, and the waves, which flow here, because again, this is a depiction of art with clockwork regularity, move against the shore with a rhythm that sets off the tinkling. And in my ears, that tinkling becomes louder and louder because all I can hear is myself not saying anything.
Gathering all their powers, Bellwether attempts to slow the tick-tock of the tides, pulls the tide back as far as they can in an unnatural, uncanny way.
Like a parting of the seas type thing.
And ethereal, heavenly sea creatures begin to struggle to not breathe.
Oh, yeah. There is. I think the creatures, because like, gosh, I don't know that angels can create life.
The idea of it more.
Yeah, I like it's almost like a clockwork thing, or like a robot or something that has been programmed. So I think when you pull it back, like the fish, or you know, an angel's impression of a fish is stuck, fixed at this point that it is floating in without the wine that it was flowing through. It can't move forward or whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I think because it's impressionistic and it's like such a visceral truth of what a fish is, they start to jerk and flop the way a fish does when it's on land. It's a little spooky. Please stop doing that. Please stop doing that.
I thought you enjoyed unnatural. They let the tide go.
Yeah. The water rushes forward and gathers around our legs and like comes up to my thighs and your shins. Yeah, your calves. It's... Again, it looks as though the Morning Star is going to say something. And they think better of it.
Bellwether walks away down the beach.
Where are you going?
Wherever it ends.
You know it does not end. You know it doesn't end.
Make it end. I can make it end. And then they just fly off.
Good.
Everyone's all gathered and ready for a story, I see. And my beloved husband is running a little behind. I've brought this along with me to top off anybody's cider. Well, there you are. There you are, my dear. And for you as well. I'm sure he'll be along any minute now, my friends. I know that he usually is the first one here, but he's had some other business to attend to this evening. Not to worry. Now let me think. Did he happen to mention what story he was going to tell next? Well, he didn't, did he? Well, then, let's see, my dears. What would you like to know about? Well, Hodrin Prom. That is a lovely tale to tell. I always like that story. Well, all right. Since Coriander didn't start that one yet, I don't suppose he'd mind if I told a little bit of it for him. Some years ago, my friends, when the Swiftwill Courier Service was still quite young and the Audrin ships were still as new as could be, Coriander and I were both juggling so many different things at once. Between the organization of mail, the delegation of deliveries, the establishment of the official seals, and the distribution of the Audrin routes, we had our hands as full as an apple orchard. It was a joy to work together, to see things come to fruition, and to lean on one another for support as we made new things where previously there had been nothing. But by the lumens, we were tired. Everything was growing and changing so quickly, and by the time we'd finished each day, we were both too tired to talk, or walk, or do anything other than eat our suppers and fall asleep. One day, I was supervising some cargo being loaded at the docks. One of the Audrin ships had just landed, you see, and another Audrin ship was scheduled to depart. Nowadays, the routes happen simultaneously, of course, but back then, well, they didn't. They happened when they happened. I was keeping a log of important events and precious cargoes near the dock when I saw one of our couriers, a young woman by the name of Rollin, standing alone on the dock with the wind in her hair, some mail in her hands, and a rosy flush across her cheeks that put autumn's leaves to shame. I was about to walk over and ask if she was feeling all right, when suddenly a few more couriers from a different Audrin came strolling down the dock, their arms full of mail and supplies. And Rollin's eyes, lit up like the moon on a clear night, reflected off the snow of the mountain peaks. And I realized that Rollin wasn't holding just any old mail in her hands. She was holding a letter that was likely a little more precious and more personal. These new couriers walked past our Rollin, standing there like a blazing sunset of beauty, and continued down the dock. For a moment she looked crushed, and then a flare of determination filled her eyes, and she marched after those couriers and their crates of food and supplies. I was far enough away, and the wind was going the other direction, so I couldn't properly hear what was said. But as I watched, the group of couriers stopped and turned to look, and then watched as some of them smiled knowingly and peeled away from one of their fellows, a tall courier called Jates. And then I watched as Rollin marched up to Jates with their crate of potatoes, and she held out a single letter. I watched as Jates's own cheeks turned pink, their lips drawn into a thin line of uncertainty, then bemusement, as Rollin handed over the letter. I watched the two of them exchange tense nods and saw Rollin's high-lifted chin as she strode purposefully away from the docks, her hands clenched into proud fists. I saw, too, the way Jates trembled, still blushing and holding the letter, watching Rollin walk away. Jates silently struggled with whether to call after Rollin or carry on with their cargo, or stop and read the letter right then and there. Ultimately, they chose the latter option, and the emotions I saw dance across their face made it very plain to me. That night, when Coriander and I sat down to supper, I told him what I had seen, and together we came up with a plan. The very next day, we sent out a grand invitation to all the Audrins, inviting them all to Swiftwell's Respite in the Honey Smoke Mountains, a place small enough to be private and large enough for all of our couriers in one place to all be there at one time. When they arrived, we held a fantastical banquet and a dance with music and masks and fancy dress and so much silliness that we could have all burst from laughing long into the night. Just as I had been longing to have a moment of peace and romance with Coriander, so too were our couriers yearning to make connections with one another, some as friends, and some as more than friends. There was so much joy and merriment that we absolutely could not help ourselves. And we just had to throw the same party again the same time next year. And the year after that. And the year after that. And that was the beginning of Audrin Prom.
And that is a story by the fireside. Well told, my dear. Very well told indeed.
Why, Coriander, I didn't hear you come out.
Oh, that's all right, my love. I'd like to hear you tell it this time round.
Did I leave anything out?
Oh, now let me see. Let me think. Let me scratch my noodle and think about that for a little bit. Actually, yes, I believe you did.
Did I? Which part?
You left out the part where you looked absolutely gorgeous in your gown. And you stole my heart away from the rest of the world to hold it all your own.
Oh.
And also the part where we danced the night away like two young lovebirds under a moonlit sky.
Well, we were young lovebirds then. Young, at least.
Yes, I suppose we were. But you stayed just the same all this while. Smart, capable, generous to a fault. And always aware and considerate of the tenderness of others. You know, I think I should tell you a very personal secret, my dear.
Mm-hmm.
Come close.
Oh.
Nice close.
All right.
Right here. I do love you something fierce.
I do love you too, dear.
Some of you look as though you've had enough of this romantic lovey-dovey stuff for now. Though I wouldn't be too surprised if you added a romantic feather to your own cap at your next Audrin Prom. But I digress for now. What shall we say our next story shall be? Let me see.
Campaign Skyjacks is a One-Shot Network production. For more information, be sure to follow us on Twitter over at CampaignPod for updates about live shows and other events we might be doing.
In the universe of Star Wall Odyssey, space is made out of the collective imaginations of all the thinking beings who live on various planets. These worlds are connected to each other through imagination. Common themes and ideas are strings between universes. And to get between them, people fly wooden ships that look like animals, which are powered by emotions. Also, people communicate with each other by contemplating orbs. The only way you can take pictures is getting stared at by a big psychic bug. And people have already declared victory in a war over the very concept of evil. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Star Wall Odyssey follows the adventures of the hapless inhabitants of the Lucky Finn tenement building, who suddenly find that their apartment is actually a spaceship, and that they're lost in a sea of boundless imagination. It's an actual play starring me, James D'Amato, Mel D'Amato, Ali Grauer, and Drew Merzieski, as we playtest the No Kings system, which will hopefully one day be the Skyjacks role-playing system. It toes the line between weird and wonderful slice of life and high-flying space fantasy. You can sample the first 5 episodes by searching for Star Wall Odyssey on your favorite podcast app, or get the whole thing by heading to patreon.com/oneshotpodcast and signing up for $5 a month or more.
You can find more great gaming shows over at oneshotpodcast.com, like Skyjack's Courier's Call, an all-ages-friendly actual play podcast set in the world of Sphere. Skyjack's Courier's Call follows 3 teens as they set out as new apprentices aboard an airship with the Swiftwell Courier Service, bringing mail and adventure across the world. Featuring Drew Merzieski, Palomi Pertap, Aaron Catano-Saez, and Ali Grauer, and using the Cortex Prime system, this show is perfect for anyone just getting started listening to actual plays, and veterans of the tabletop genre alike. Join clever but anxious Kieran, bold, fast-talking Cece, and the loyal and strong June aboard the Red Audrin ship as they sort and deliver mail, encounter powerful magic, and learn the proper skills of an Erinner along the way. Right wrongs, do mercies, and take flight. Jonnet Kessler was played by Tyler Davis, who can be found on Twitter and Instagram at Tyler A. Dave. He also co-stars and consults on Showtime's Work in Progress. Gable was played by Liz Anderson, who can be found on Twitter at @LizAnderson_... or on her podcast, Paired. Travis Madigo was played by Johnny O'Mara, who can be found on Twitter at @JohnnyNBriefs or on his podcasts, Bill Buds, and Dilettante Ball. Captain Oromar Vale was played by Nathan Blades, who can be found on Twitter at PhantomArtsENT. You can also find them streaming on twitch.tv/TheNeonCaster. I am James D'Amato, your host and game master. You can find me on Twitter at OneShotRPG or on my other podcast, OneShot. The original music featured in this podcast was written, composed, and performed by Arnie Parrott. You can find him on Twitter over at ArnePArrott. You can find more of his work at atptunes.com. This episode was edited by Casey Tony, who can be found on Twitter at Casey Pony or on his podcast, NeoScum. Our logo was designed by Fiona Shea, who can be found on Twitter at FionaPup. The World of Sphere was inspired in part by the music of the Decemberists, and Illimat, produced by Together Studios. This show uses a modified version of the Genesis role-playing system, designed by Sam Stewart and a team of talented professionals who were fired by the private equity firm owning Fantasy Flight Games.
To the strangers who've ever been kind, and once for our friends ne'er to rise. Twice to the dearest we're leaving behind, who know we can never deny the call of the skies.